Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Philippians, bond servants of Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, the stuff of ministry, part 1. I remember back in Miami when we had just a couple of children, and they were still pretty young, and I took on the task of putting together a children's swing set. I had to deal with the heat of the sun. The kids kept taking the parts and carefully following instructions. So, dealing with all that, the heat of the sun, the kids coming along, taking the parts, and then carefully trying to make sure I was following the instructions. What was Joanne's involvement in this task of mine? Well, you better hurry. It's supposed to rain this afternoon. Make sure the kids don't take any of the pieces. It'll be worth it. The kids will really love it. Wait a minute. That's exhortation to get the job done before it rains. Admonition not to lose anything, you know, keep an eye on the kids. Encouragement that a good thing was being done and the children are going to enjoy it. Exhortation, admonition, and encouragement. The essence of ministry. We see Paul minister to the believers at Philippi in these three ways in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. First, he urged them to seek strength from Jesus. First part of verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. What has Paul been addressing in chapters 1 and 2? Serving Christ amid suffering. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The more we rejoice in Jesus, the more we will be willing to obey Him and suffer for Him. The less we rejoice in Jesus, the more we will move away from Him in times of trouble. Second, He warned them of attacks by the enemy. For second part of verse 1 and verse 2. For to me, to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. To write the same things. The same things. I already preached to you. Now I write to you. You heard it with your ears. Now read it with your eyes. We must not be afraid to share what is needed. We must be ready to hear truths often. The problem with our society is that we don't like to hear the same thing more than once. We're always looking for something new, and then we forget what we hear without applying it. Paul refers to false dogs in three terms. Excuse me. Paul refers to false prophets in three terms. In verse 2. Dogs attacking true believers, barking and biting. Evil workers promoting good works versus faith. The mutilation, boasting about being circumcised. The Judaizers tried to destroy the church and preserve their physical traits, their rituals. We do this today. when we hold on to what's comfortable with a death grip and refuse to take risks in faith. And then third, he assured them with evidence of true faith. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, the people of God, the new covenant. It's about a relationship rather than a religion. Worship in the Spirit, not in rituals in the Jewish religion. Rejoice in Christ, not in privileges of the Jewish religion. Trust in the Lord, not in outward acts of the Jewish religion. Not the cold rituals of religion, but the warm reality of a personal relationship with the Lord Himself. Paul preached justification by faith in Jesus Christ, but it wasn't because he had failed at Judaism. No, he could stand toe to toe with the best of them. Just consider his resume in verses 4 through 6. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He had the birthright of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. The temple stood on that tribe's land, Benjamin. That tribe stayed loyal with Judah when the other 10 broke away. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had the covenant, circumcised the eighth day. Paul was right with God from the start. He had the education, a Pharisee, and not just any Pharisee. He was taught by Gamaliel. Acts chapter 22, in verse 3. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. He was raised by a Pharisee. Acts chapter 23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. Fulfilled the role. Acts 26, verse 5. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Listen, and he was perfect in obeying the law. He said, blameless. No one was able to accuse Saul of Tarsus. And he was committed to the religion, persecuting the church. He attacked enemies of Judaism, the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, down to Acts chapter 8, verse 3. In chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and then repeated again in chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. He attacked the enemies, persecuted the church. Paul zealously tried to please God. Listen, he was a star. And he was an honor roll student of Judaism. The Pharisees should have been grateful to have him on the team with them. Judaism was safe. But there are verses 7 and 8. To gain Christ. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. These I have counted loss. Why? Trying to be approved by keeping the law makes me an enemy of Christ. The law cannot give salvation. Only the blood of Christ can. What are the goals of the Christian life? Well, the first goal is to survive the scrutiny. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. What scrutiny? Well, the trial of life before the world. The trial of judgment before the Lord. The word found has the idea of the results of a legal trial. Trials reveal our true character. Christianity is a new life, not a cleaned up old life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The second goal is to realize the Redeemer. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, that I may know Him. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Him? Are you sure you do? The same word know is also used for sexual union. This is intimate fellowship. Not simply intellectual facts about the Lord, but a personal encounter with God behind the veil. And the third goal is to finish the fight. Verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Was Paul worried about being saved? No. The word attain has the idea of arriving at the end of a journey. Paul was expressing his humble hope of finishing and receiving all the blessing of Christ's resurrection, now and in death. That was the kind of humility Paul had as a servant of the Lord. He just wanted to finish the ministry. How about you? Let's give all that some thought. And you have a great day.